James chapter 3, starting at verse 1. This is God's word to us this evening. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither. Can a salt pond yield fresh water? Amen. Let's just pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you this evening that it is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. And we pray once again that you might take your word and by your spirit, you might implant it in our hearts to give life to good fruit. Help us this evening, as many of us might be tired. Help us to focus, Lord, and to take on board your word, which changes our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So there's that famous saying, isn't there, that we all know. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. And we know from life that saying is a load of rubbish, isn't it? A load of rubbish. Words are powerful. We can say something to someone of great encouragement, and a person will remember that word for the rest of their lives. We can give someone a piece of criticism, and even if it is constructive, it can bear fruit in someone's life as well. I remember the first time that I got sermon feedback. It was one of the first times that I preached, and an anonymous person put down on their feedback sheet, "I found the sermon dry and boring." I can tell you that night I didn't sleep as I just reflected on those words. Dry and boring. I'm never going to preach again. Words in the Bible are powerful, aren't they? As they can bring life and they can bring death. For example, God's word, as he spoke, he brought the whole universe into being. He brought life. He spoke and he created. Meanwhile, Satan's words, what did he bring into the world? He brought sin and death. His words destroy. And in the same way, our words can build up someone or they can tear down someone. You see, words are important, the Bible says, and we underestimate just how important they are in life. And that's what James wants us to see as he writes this bit of the book. He wants us to see that our words matter. Our words matter. And so he gives us here three truths about the tongue and our words. And we're going to look through those, and then I'm going to bring out a little bit of application as we end. So three truths about words and then a few bits of application. So firstly, James says our tongues are the key to godliness. Our tongues are the key to godliness. Look at verse 2 again in our text. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, also able to bridle his whole body. James is saying here, we all have faults. We all stumble and fall. We know this. But he writes, if we can control our tongues, then we will be perfect. Now, when he says the word perfect there, he doesn't mean that we will be sinless, but that we will be mature in Christ. If we control this little tongue, this little member, then we will be able to control our whole body. In other words, this small member in our mouths this evening impacts our whole lives. And he gives us a couple of examples, doesn't he, from everyday life. He says, think about a horse. A horse can run a quarter of a mile in 25 seconds. They can carry huge weights on their backs. But these powerful creatures can be controlled by what? A little bit in their mouths. You can put a woman on its back and the animal can be made to dance. I've seen pictures on Google. It's tiny compared to the rest of the horse, but it gives you, that little bit gives you control and direction. Same with the tongue. Control the tongue, you control the rest of the body. Or James says, think about a boat that is controlled by a rudder. You can have a massive tanker controlled by a relatively small rudder at the back. You can direct a ship through massive storms just through this little rudder. Same with the tongue. Our tongues are tiny, aren't they, when you stick them out? What would make you do that? Some of us can't even touch our noses with our tongue. They're tiny compared to the rest of the body. Yet James is saying they are the key to godliness. And James is focusing here on the direction that our tongues give. So you think about the rudder and the bit, they control the direction of the horse and they control the direction of the ship. And so we control our tongues, we control the direction of our lives. We can win all other battles. It's like a building. Think about it this way. It's like a building with lots of lights and air conditioning and security systems. There are switches all over the place in the building to control this and that. But if you get to the master switchboard, then you control the whole building, don't you? You control that. You can turn all the air conditioning off, all the lights. Same as the tongue. It is this master switchboard to the rest of our battles. Now you might be thinking this evening, how is that? How is that, James? How does that work? I mean, I don't yap that much. I'm not a big talker. I'm quite a polite person. I don't say anything nasty to people. Not to their faces, anyway. I hardly say anything. But speech, if you think about it, is only a small percentage of the use of the tongue. We have a constant battle going on with our words in our heads. When we plan something sinful, how do we plan it? We plan it using words. When we fantasize about things we shouldn't be fantasizing about, what do we use? Might not be spoken words, but they're words in our heads. When we feel sorry for ourselves and we pity ourselves, we speak to ourselves. When we have anger towards someone, even if we don't shout out at them, we mutter under our breath, don't we? We're muttering in our heads, I don't like that person. I don't like what they just said and the way they treated me. You see, we might speak, but we also have this internal chatter going on all the time in our heads. And if we could stop those words in our heads before they turn towards sinful emotions, then we would win many battles. The sinful emotions would be cut down before they gripped our hearts and came out in words. It starts here. The words that we speak in our heads. So can you see that? It's the key to godliness. If we control our tongues this evening, then we will become mature in Christ. And so that means is an area we need to think about deeply as Christians, isn't it? James is saying, if you want to work on one thing in your life this year, work on your words. And yet, how many of us have actually thought about it? Think about lust or pride or anger, all things we need to work on in step with the Spirit. But have we thought about our words, how we use them? Control your words, control your body, and you can become mature in Christ. Secondly, an uncontrollable tongue causes great damage. An uncontrollable tongue causes great damage. James says in our text, we can tame all sorts of animals. We can tame dogs, we can tame cats, reptiles, hamsters, monkeys, even lions if we get them from a young age. Although I wouldn't want to do that myself. We can make whales jump through hoops. Think about that. We can make elephants stand on twos at the circus and juggle balls. But James says we can control the animals, but we cannot control the tongue. Look at verse 8 again. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. I mean, if we are honest with ourselves this evening, we all struggle with our tongues. No one can say that they've got it sorted. That's why when the Bible talks about the way sin has come into the world, it talks about it with our words, with our tongues. Think about Romans 3. He says this, no one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Everyone struggles with their words. Doesn't matter if you're from Hook or you're from Hackney. Doesn't matter if you're homeless or you're a politician. Doesn't matter if you're from England or the UK, Scotland or the rest of the world. We all struggle with the sin of the uncontrollable little tongue. And the thing is, when we do not control our tongues, we can cause a lot of damage. He says in verse 5, it's a small member and yet it boasts of great things. And he gives us a picture here. He says, think about a small spark that can light up a whole fire, a whole forest. A small spark in a forest can set it all ablaze. Think about Australia. Earlier this year, a small fire broke out, a tiny, weeny, small fire. And it spread through 58,000 hectares of land. That's 58,000 football pitches. A whole town was destroyed in a few hours to rubble. And in the same way, our words can have that deadly impact. They harm those around us. When we backbite, when we gossip, when we patronize, when we criticize, when we tear each other down. It's like a fire being set off. Little blaze goes off. Proverbs 11:9. With his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor. Our words can literally destroy people. One comment can cause a lot of damage, can't it? A sarcastic joke aimed in the right place can cut someone down to size. A bit of gossip, even if it's not true, can ruin someone's reputation. A piece of criticism can bring utter destruction to someone's day. I mean, think about the amount of broken relationships we've had in our lives over the years because of the words that we have used. Think about the amount of hurtful things that we have said to one another in our families and wider. Think about the upset that has been caused. Earlier this year, I read in the newspaper a very sad story that an 11-year-old boy tried to commit suicide because he was bullied at school. Why? It wasn't because he's been physically bullied. He's been bullied with words. And he wanted to kill himself. Our words can literally lead to the death of other people. They are that powerful. And when we use our words for sinful purposes, when they are uncontrolled, we are being used not by God, but we are being used by Satan himself. Look at verse 6 in our text. The tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. By hell. I mean, Satan, what does he use his words for? He uses his words to lie, steal, and destroy. And so when we use our words in a similar course, we're not being used by God, but by Satan. Our words can be used as a weapon for Satan, for God's enemy. That's some powerful stuff, is it not? That is powerful. That means our tongues have more destructive power than a nuclear bomb. Why? Because while a nuclear bomb can cause a lot of physical damage, our words are spiritual and they are eternal. Our words can be used as a direct pipeline to hell. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so if we are claiming to be Christians this evening, then we need to work on our tongues, don't we? We need to control those little things in our mouth. We need this little gift that we all ignore in our generation, mine anyway, maybe not older. It's this little gift called self-control. Self-control. We need to rein ourselves in. The psalmist says in Psalm 39, I said, I will guard my ways, that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth with a muzzle, so long as the wicked are in my presence. He says, I want to put a trap on my mouth. I'm going to put a muzzle on my mouth, so that I might honor the Lord. That's what we need to do as Christians, if we're going to honor the Lord with our words. An uncontrollable tongue can cause great damage. So we need to rein ourselves in. And thirdly, our tongues, James says, reveal who we really are. Our tongues reveal who we really are. I always find this truth a difficult one to swallow, but it's all over the Bible. James says that when we use our words, what we are revealing is what is inside us. It's what's inside us. Look at verse 12. Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a small pond yield fresh water. His example is simple. If you have a fig tree, then what do you think is going to come from that tree? Figs. Keeping you awake. Fig trees produce figs. Not a trick question. Not olives. If you have a grapevine, then you expect it to produce what? Grapes, not figs. If I planted an apple tree in my back garden, what do I expect to get? Orange juice. If I'm getting orange juice, I'm selling that for a couple million pounds. If it comes up with pears, then something has gone terribly wrong. Well, in the same way, if we are using our words for evil purposes, then we are only revealing what is inside here already. Bitter words reveal a bitter spirit. Angry words reveal an angry heart. Impatient words reveal an impatient soul. Boasting reveals a proud heart. Lies reveal a lying heart. Lustful words reveal a lustful heart. It's that simple. And so if we are using our words in destructive purposes, for destructive purposes, then it shows that we're not walking with the Lord in that moment. Because if we are walking in step with the Spirit, then we expect to produce what? The fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Jesus said this, and it's one of the scariest verses in the New Testament, I think. It is out of the overflow of our hearts that our mouth speak. It's the overflow of our hearts that our mouths speak. I mean, we often say, often in argument, I didn't mean it. I didn't mean what I said. But that is a lie. That is a lie. What we mean is that I didn't mean to reveal what was actually on my heart. That's what we really mean. I didn't mean to say those things that were on my heart because I wanted to keep them to myself. We always say what we mean because they are always an overflow of what's going on in our souls. Paul Tripp uses a good example. He says, we're like a water bottle with a lid off. The water is already in the bottle. And what happens in an argument? The bottle shakes. And if there's water in there, what happens? Water comes out. The water's already there. Just the circumstances are bringing out what's already in our hearts. And that's with our words. When we get into angry circumstances, when we get into stressful situations, when we go through suffering, the fire comes on. The heart is revealed. That's all that happens. We can never say, I didn't mean to say that. We always mean what we say when we speak, because it is an overflow of our hearts. And so if we want to find out who we really are this evening, then we need to look at our words. Here's a challenge for you this week. If you've got the time, which I'm sure many of us don't have much time, but if you do have the time, do this. Write down everything you say in a diary over a month, and you will soon see your patterns of sin. Write it down over a month, the things that you say, happy and sad, bitter, angry words, and you will find out what your heart is producing. And I'm not talking about the words on a Sunday when we're all nicey nice to each other in the morning. Hi, how are you doing? I'm fine. How are you? I'm fine. Nice to see you today. I'm not talking about those words. A lot of it is fake. I'm talking about this, the words whispered in the dark. You know what I'm talking about. I know we've got nice shirts on and stuff this evening. You know what I'm talking about. The words whispered in the dark. The little talks we have between a husband and wife before bed. The ones in private. The little bits of gossip, the little bit of nastiness, the little bit of bitterness. Write those down and you'll find out who you really are. It's not Sunday morning. It's Monday to Sunday, isn't it? The ones in private. James says those words reveal who we are. So we need to take note of them, don't we? Our words are the key to godliness. They can be harmful if not controlled, and they reveal who we are. So how are we supposed to respond this evening? James says a couple of things just to end. Three things. These are not as long. Just brief. Firstly, teachers, we need to be careful. Those who are seeking to teach need to think very carefully before undertaking the task. That's what James kicked off this whole section with, verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. As teachers, we use our words more than anybody else. And so we need to be careful. As teachers, we have a great responsibility to bring God's word and to counsel people. And so this task cannot be taken lightly. We need to watch out. Luke 12:48 says this, everyone to whom much is given, of him much will be required. From him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. As teachers, as elders, as overseers, we have been given a great responsibility. And so we need to make sure that we are using our words well. Everyone does, but particularly, James says, the teacher. Secondly, we need to repent, don't we, of our double-mindedness. We need to repent of our double-mindedness. That's everyone. Look at verses 9 to 10. James gets to the nuts and bolts here. He says, with it, our tongue, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, these things ought not to be so. In this church that James is writing to, there was fighting going on. There were divisions. There were problems. I mean, James mentions the tongue and words three times in this letter. So obviously it's a big problem. And he says to this church, and he'll say it to us as well, these things should not be so. We were created to bless the Lord, to use our words to love him and glorify his name. And then secondly, we were called to and created to use our words to build one another up, to love one another in Christ. And when we use our words to glorify God on a Sunday and pull people down during the week, from Monday to Saturday, we're not loving God at all. We're not loving God at all. We can sing "How Great Thou Art" on a Sunday, can't we? "Crown Him with many crowns" will be sang this evening. But those words mean nothing, absolutely worthless, if we're then slagging each other off behind one another's backs. Our mouths were used, are called and created to worship God, not destroy people. So the question is, once again, how are we doing with our words? Are we building up? Or are we simply tearing down? Do we speak well of people? Or are we slagging them off behind their backs? Are we blessing? Or are we cursing? You see, if we are tearing people down constantly in our lives, then James says we need to repent this evening, because these things ought not to be so. We need to see the seriousness of our words and the sinfulness of them, repent and come back to the Lord. We need to ask for God's forgiveness in this area. And thirdly, in light of all this, we need a Saviour, do we not? We need the Lord Jesus Christ, who did not sin with his lips once. Our tongues are all over the place, and that is why we need the grace of God. 1 Peter 2 says this, "For this you were called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth." Imagine how difficult that was. For 33 years of his life, he did not sin with his lips. Never gossiped, never backbited, never used his words for lust or envy, never tore people down. He used them perfectly to glorify God and to love his neighbour. Yes, he rebuked people. That's a godly thing to do with the right motivation. But he never sins. Even on the day when he was being crucified, even when he was suffering on the cross, he never sinned. Never. He said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And so Jesus Christ this evening is our hope. We need to cling to him once again. He died so that we might be saved and so that we might use our words for the glory of God. And so as we cling to Jesus Christ this evening, our cesspit tongues can be used as an awesome tool for good. We can use our tongues to praise God. We can use our tongues to encourage one another. We can use our tongues to rebuke sin to the honour and praise of our Lord Jesus Christ. But here's the key. We need to bring our tongues and our words under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Under the lordship of Jesus Christ. We need to put our tongues on the altar and ask God each day that he would use them for his good and glory. We need to pray the psalmist in Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we are thank you. We are so thankful this evening for your perfect Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that he never sinned with his lips, but was perfect in heart and in word and in deed. And in comparison to his holiness, we pale, don't we? We so often are full of gossip, have envious words, have boastful phrases, we backbite, we say things we shouldn't, and we confess these sins to you this evening. Lord Jesus, help us in our words to glorify you. Help us to rein ourselves in. We pray with the psalmist that you would muzzle us sometimes, and that we might use our words to glorify Christ. Help us to rebuke sin. Help us to encourage one another when encouragement is needed. Help us to challenge when challenge is needed. Help us to think well of one another, to build one another up. And we pray that our words will be used to glorify God, to praise his name, and to love his creation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.